Welcome to the Dogs and Deadlifts, Building Better Dogs podcast. If you like a podcast that is raw, unfiltered, and authentic, you have come to the right place. Our goal is to bring clarity around canine fitness and conditioning. We help people ignite their dog's performance and build better dogs. Join your host, Daniel Rose, as we discuss fitness, nutrition, and mindset for dogs. Let's do this. Are you lacking some clarity around dog nutrition, dog fitness, or scent work? You are not alone. Learn how to ignite your dog's physical and mental performance safe, systematic, and injury-free. Yes, you can improve your dog's physical and mental performance and achieve amazing results following the Dogs and Deadlifts programming. Because this work is not just about you, it's whom you do it with. We understand you want to make sure your coach is the right fit. Get access to certified canine athlete specialist coach and owner of Dogs and Deadlifts, Daniel Rose. And you can figure out how to get the results you're looking for, whether it is your dog's general behavior, athletic performance, or sports scent detection. Book your 30-minute free online discovery call with Daniel today. The link is shown in the notes below.
So welcome back to the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. Today, in front of me, actually sitting here personally, is Rhiannon Bevan, all the way from Wales. Welcome.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Yeah, fantastic to have you here. And I suppose this is the first face-to-face interview that I've done. Everyone else has been in other countries around the world, and we've had to get up in crazy, you know, mornings or late at night. So it's certainly a pleasure to be sitting here face-to-face.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Fantastic. So Rhiannon, you know, let's, you know, with you and I have been hanging out now for what, nearly 3 weeks.
Yeah.
For the listeners out there, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and I guess why you here in Australia talking to me?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I'm here in Australia doing some man training, basically running some workshops and running the first ever man training global instructors course in Australia. So we've been traveling around delivering workshops and running instructors courses. It's been great,
and it's super exciting to, you know, to have you here. Obviously I've been a participant, been able to you know, hang out with you and watch and learn, but we'll sort of get into the details and, you know, our adventures over the last few weeks. But for the, you know, let's get started. Where did it start for you in regards to dogs or even just man trailing?
So prior to being involved directly with dogs, I was a wildlife officer back in the UK, and so I've always been working with animals in some capacity. I moved into dogs after I got my own dog, rescue border terrier named Floss, who turned out to be much, much more reactive than I had kind of banked on. And I had lots and lots of hopes and aspirations with her to, you know, do agility and obedience and all sorts of things. And the reality was that she was actually, instead of being a force for kind of, you know, getting out and doing stuff in my life, she actually restricted my life in quite a lot of ways. And I ended up having to do quite a lot of behavior modification with her, which was necessary, but it didn't really forge a great relationship between the two of us. And, you know, I loved her, but I didn't necessarily like her very much a lot of the time. And I, at the time, you know, I was learning about dog training and moving more into dog related activities. And I came across man trailing, and I came across it via an advert in a local group with a lady named Lisa Gorenflo, who became a good friend of mine. And I thought, you know what, it said that it was good for reactive dogs and that, you know, we'd be working one dog at a time. And I thought, you know what, yeah, we'll give it a go. And I took Floss along full of apprehension to my first ever, you know, man trailing introduction session. And not only was it suitable for her and she was able to take part, which was absolutely unbelievable for me, but she actually loved it as well. And it was something that we started to be able to do together. In the meantime, alongside my journey with man trailing, I started to really, really heavily become involved with dog training, and I retrained into kind of applied canine behavior instead of wider ranging animal behavior, which is what I was working with before. And man trailing was kind of a driving force behind all of that. So yeah, that's where I got involved, and I just went from strength to strength with Flossie. And I think, you know, Lisa got to a point where she was expanding, etc. And I'd been working alongside her, and I came on board as an instructor 7 years ago now. Mm-hmm. and here we are. Here we are now.
Yeah. Awesome. And for those listeners, if you haven't have a chance, obviously I spoke to Lisa episode number 60. We spoke about what is man trailing, and you know, had a really good conversation here, and that point has led obviously to you know, Lisa and I building up a relationship, and therefore, you know, re-coming out to Australia. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's been a bit of a journey over the last 6 months, but here we are. Today's conversation, obviously I don't feel like we need to get into what is man trailing. I believe that, you know, Lisa and I covered that off, you know, really great. Pretty much today's a very casual conversation around, you know, your wrap up of Australia. Yeah. So, you know, I received an email from Lisa saying that, hey, Daniel, unfortunately, you know, I can't come to Australia, but this is why, you know. And, you know, Lisa said that she was pregnant, and I'm like, oh, awesome, but oh.
Yeah,
you know, so the emotions were high, and then like, oh. obviously we've had the opportunity for you to come out. Mm-hmm. And you know, for those listening, we did a very, very first workshop in Geelong in Melbourne, you know, just down the outskirts of Melbourne. How did you find that? How is it, you know, a little bit, you know, how does it compare, or, you know, how was it different to anything that you've experienced in either the UK, Canada, yeah, or anywhere, yeah, you know, there's?
Yeah, so first of all, it's my first visit to Oz, yeah. So really excited to kind of, you know, experience Australia. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed being in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, the weather was quite reminiscent of being back at home. Mm-hmm. So that was quite familiar for me. Mm-hmm. With regards to the workshop, obviously we were working some really, really interesting dogs. Mm-hmm. I've had over my career the luxury of being able to work with a wide variety of breeds and, you know, dogs with disabilities, etc. Mm-hmm. But we had a first for me, which we had a couple of firsts for me, actually. We had my first ever Chow Chow. Mm-hmm. Trailing, which was, you know, not maybe not necessarily a traditional breed that you think about doing some trailing, but I think you'd agree, like, she was good.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had to think about how we were going to motivate her and all that kind of stuff. But she was really cool. And I also got to meet my first ever Catula leopard dogs. Mm. Which is not a breed that we really encounter very much in the UK. I have been an admirer from a distance for quite a while and wanted to see how they trailed. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they were really, really great, really great to actually see the way that they work. And obviously they're designed for this kind of work anyway. So yeah, it was fab. Yeah. You know, and meeting some Australians as well and seeing the way that they work with their dogs was really, yeah, interesting. So yeah.
And what I found, obviously the breeds were so varied. Mm. You know, we also had a Chihuahua, we had a deaf Australian cattle dog, yep, 5 months old. What else did we have? You know, Tina, my friend Tina, popped in with her
Aussie Shepherd.
Yeah. There's a variety of different, yep, dogs, yeah. And it was fantastic to see you know, start them out and get to where they got to within the 2 day period. You know, it was, you know, just a, for me, a heap of fun. It was cold, you know, for me coming from Queensland down to Victoria, the wind, the rain, it was certainly cold for me. But like you said, felt you felt like home.
Yeah, it wasn't that cold. I was fine. You know, I was one layer and yeah, it was all fine. I, you know, I've trailed in minus temperatures before, so it's I'm fairly acclimatized to it, and the rain, so you know, people have asked, can you trail in the rain? And yes, the answer to that is and actually, if I didn't trail in the rain, I would never get to trail because it's always raining in Wales, so it's it was second nature, really. But yeah, it was good.
Look, I felt it was a two really, really good days of introduction to you know, to for man trailing to the you know, for pet dogs down there. You know, I'm obviously a crazy coffee buff, and I took, you know, a week off to you know, have a bit of time out myself. Yeah. And I know that you know, it was great for me to get back to Melbourne. It's been probably around 10 years since I've lived there permanently, maybe a little bit more, and catch up with some friends and eat some great food. And you know, I think I dragged you around to every different coffee shop I could each day. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I definitely got to sample a wide variety of coffees. Luckily, I'm a coffee lover as well. So I think you'd have been gutted if I wasn't.
I know, you're staying in the motel. I'm going.
And we got to see some nice coffee machines as well.
For sure. You know, for me, you know, coffee's a big part of my life as well as dogs, you know, and certainly it was great to get down to Melbourne and just sample those, catch up with good friends. You know, from there, obviously there was a little bit of I had to leave, but we were fortunate enough for a good friend of mine to take you out to the Dingo Sanctuary. How was that?
Yeah, that was really, really interesting. So, you know, despite being a fairly educated when it comes to wildlife, dingoes, my extent of knowledge about them was that they are a wild canid that lives in Australia. That's pretty much, and I had no real preconceptions about them. I didn't know particularly that there was a negative stigma around them in Australia. And that, you know, that really surprised me. And all of the rest of the history surrounding them and the stuff that I learned, like, kind of blew my mind, really. I was absolutely captivated, and of course I actually got to meet some dingo, an adult dingo, and also some dingo puppies as well. I found it really interesting with the adult dingo. You know, I have a knowledge of you know, kind of dog conformation and anatomy and all of that kind of stuff, because I do, you know, I do show some dogs. And being able to look at a dingo in that lens as well, and look at how they were different to, you know, our domestic dogs, was really, really interesting. I was absolutely blown away by it, finding out, you know, how dingoes are, so integral to Australian wildlife.
For sure. And we were very, I suppose, very fortunate enough to obviously, number one, see puppies as well. Get a fantastic, almost one-on-one experience, because it was school holidays and they had closed for that particular day. So very thankful to my friend Karen for organizing that, very much. And then you also went out to another wildlife sanctuary the next day.
We visited Ballarat Wildlife Reserve, just so I could actually, you know, see some Australian wildlife. So we managed to see kangaroos and wombats and koalas and everything that you know, that you want to see when you're in Australia. I then saw some kangaroos at the airport when Karen was dropping me off as well, which was pretty cool. But yeah, that was great.
Just while I think of it, my friend Tina introduced you to Tim Tams and
Tim Tams. I got to do my first ever Tim Tam slam. I mean, it was essential that I did my first ever Tim Tam slam.
And once again, just another thing to tick off your bucket list.
Absolutely.
So from Melbourne, I was already back here in Toowoomba, but you flew to Brisbane for a few days, and had in sort of mainly around northern Brisbane. You had a bit of an explore around there into the city.
Yeah,
Yeah, the difference, I suppose, between Melbourne as a city and Brisbane is, for me, is quite very different.
Yeah.
How did you find that?
Yeah, I would say there was quite a stark difference. I guess Melbourne felt possibly a little bit more independent, maybe, whereas Brisbane was maybe a little bit more similar to a lot of other cities in the world. That you know, possibly. I don't want to sound negative because I like Brisbane. I enjoyed it quite a lot, but maybe just a little bit more generic. But I had a lovely time. I had a lovely time exploring Brisbane. It was really easy to get around there as well. So it was horrendous weather again the day that I ended up going into the city. But yeah, I had a lovely time. I, you know, again, sampled some coffees, sampled some food, just. Sure. Yeah.
And from there, obviously, I picked you up and we headed west. So Toowoomba is approximately 2 hours drive from Brisbane.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate enough to get, we won't talk about too much, but get to call into a corrections facility on the way home and have a little bit of a look at, you know, how they, they're set up and what they do.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate there as well. And then, you know, it was pretty much straight into our 2-day workshop here in Toowoomba.
Yeah.
I suppose the bit of differences in regards to dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So obviously Toowoomba is different again to the cities. It's a rural city. So, you know, and it feels very much like a rural city as well, like a country, more of a country feel to it. And, you know, driving from Brisbane to Toowoomba, we were covering miles and miles and miles of not very much at all. Different dogs. So I would say the dogs in that we're encountering in Toowoomba, there's not kind of they're more worky kind of based dogs, so dogs that you'd expect to see on a farm, etc. So, you know, pointer mixes, lots of mixed breeds dogs, you know, no chihuahuas or anything similar. And dogs that really, really want and need to do a job as well, I would say. And, you know, possibly just a slightly different culture around the dogs here as well. So where they are very much more working instead of, you know, just companions, etc. So
but you know, in saying that, very much a lot of success still with introducing them to man trailing and a lot of eager handlers and people, right?
People really, really really keen to get their dogs working at this activity, and just different but not bad different. So
for sure. And you know, look, when we announced that Man Trailing Global was coming to Australia to do in conjunction with me at Dogs and Deadlifts and also run an instructor's course, there was a lot of apprehension, right? Even though, you know, I spoke to Lisa, we did a podcast, and we, you know, we did some marketing, etc., there was still that apprehension around what is man trailing, and you know, will my dog be good at this, or you know, there's that reservation, and that for me, that was always going to be there until we got on the ground and basically got rid of a few myths, and people could see and feel, touch, do you know what I mean? And that's, you know, what I knew that was going to be one of the challenges, bringing this to Australia for the first time.
I mean, you know, if you think back to what I said at the start, when I first went man trailing, I was apprehensive. You know, I didn't know. It is a, you know, a step into the unknown, etc. So massive kudos to the people who have come out. And I think if you speak to anyone who's come on the course, they've all had a great time, and all of the dogs have succeeded as well. You know, and apprehension is normal, but I think, and hopefully now people will hear and see how much of an amazing thing it is for dogs to do, and you know, how much it can kind of enrich their life, and will want to come and do more of it as well, which, you know, that would be great.
Sure. And you know, obviously this was the first step, and I'm sort of, you know, I'm getting messages straight away, and I'm like, people, you know, let's just crawl before we walk in regards to, you know, man trailing global here in Australia. We needed to, obviously, we need to spread the word. We need to create a great community. And, you know, we need to create instructors. And that's, I suppose, going to lead me into we're day 4 of 5 on the instructor certification.
Yeah, day 4 of 5. So you guys are now, you know, in the assessment phase of your instructorship. It's been great. You know, we've been lucky enough to have people coming that are going to be absolutely, you know, great at bringing man trailing forward. So, you know, provided everyone passes, etc., then, you know, the future's looking bright, I would say, with regards to man trailing in Australia.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I've see it, I feel it.
Yeah.
You know, I get messages, I get, you know, on social media, emails, etc. Certainly, you know, for me at the moment, the vibe is great, you know, and I really want to be able to, and I hope the other instructors are on the same page, move forward in regards to, you know, offering services, et cetera, over the next years, you know. Obviously, that is something that I'd like to do. Obviously, you know, without getting ahead of myself, I've got to pass tomorrow. You know, but speaking with yourself and Lisa, et cetera, you know, really creating a good community here in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'll be hopefully in a strong position to do that. Yeah,
for sure. Mm. You know, so that's, you know, the instructor's course has been fantastic, you know, from my point of view. You know, the way we've broken things down, not just from a... and in, you know, me teaching others point of view, I can only speak for myself here. You know, we've worked dogs, we've had a good mix of you know, education,
yeah,
you know, which has been fantastic. And I know that there's been people that may listen to this that came to a workshop or potentially were like, yeah, you know, let's just see how the first few go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's that part of that apprehension, which is fine. You know, for me personally, I've had a fantastic experience, and thank you very much, you know, obviously for making a huge trip over and, you know, blocking out 3 weeks to spend here, you know?
What a difficulty it's been. No, it's good.
For sure. So yeah, thank you very much. You know, once again, for those listening, if you just want to, you know, talk a little bit about your own business for a moment, you know, and what you do around that, and we'll sort of you know, wrap things up a little bit.
Yeah, cool. So obviously I'm a man trailing global head instructor, so I spend a lot of time traveling around teaching other instructors, whether that is in the UK or further afield. But I also run my own business back at home, which is primarily man trailing based now. And I run it with my partner, Chris, who's also a man trailing instructor and a photographer, and becoming a good dog trainer as well. And we trail about 5 times a week. So that's where the demand is. Our name is Taff Trailers, after the River Taff in Wales. You can Google it. we train a wide variety of different dogs. Mm-hmm. We've got people that have been trailing with us for 6+ years, mm-hmm. you know, and we've got new people coming all of the time. So that's great. So I spoke about Flossie earlier, my now elderly Border Terrier. She's now 14. Or will be 14 approximately this year, and she's now deaf and blind and happy as a clam, but, you know, deaf and blind. But I've also got 3 other Border Terriers as well, the youngest of which is 11 months old. I bred her, and she's an amazing man trailing dog, crazy otherwise, but amazing man trailing dog. And I've also got Chester, who is 5, and he's a great man trailing dog. He's been doing it since he was, I think, 13 or 14 weeks old. He did his first trail. And I've also got Teasel as well, who's 3.5. And they're all Border Terriers. And I also show my Border Terriers and compete in scent work. You guys call nose work a little bit with them as well. And yeah, so I do a lot with Border Terriers back at home. I train Border Terriers, and I also do some behaviour work with Border Terriers as well, because I am a behaviour consultant. So that is another portion of my job. But to be honest with you, the bulk of what I spend my time doing now is mantrailing, really. You know, that is my business. But yeah, if you find TAF Trailers on Facebook and you give us a follow, you can keep up to date with all of the stuff that we're doing, see all of the wide varieties of dogs that we have trailing with us, etc. And if you, I know you get a wide variety of listeners here. Yeah. If you ever are on holiday in Wales with your dog, then come and trail. Yeah.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. Awesome. And for those that, are listening to this and think they might be interested in giving man trailing a go, whether they're in the UK, the US, Canada, Australia, where would they go to find out more?
Yeah, so go to the Man Trailing Global website, and that has all of the information that you could have on there. We've got instructors all over the world, so obviously the most being currently in the UK, just because that's where it's been based for so long, but growing in the US, growing in Canada, now obviously Australia. Mm-hmm. We've got some on the European mainland as well, so you know, Switzerland, Finland, etc. So yeah, that's where you would go, Man Trailing Global website.
Awesome, fantastic. Thank you very much, Ree, once again for not just traveling out, but finding some time before you head home in the next couple of days to have a chat and spread the word not just here in Australia, because we have an international listener base. Yep. For the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. So thank you very much.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
All right, guys, so that's a wrap for today. If you've liked what you've heard, please feel free to share, subscribe on all your Apple, Spotify, etc. And let's share the word for the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. Once again, I'll see you on the other side.